Okay, we're going to look at Mark 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Mark chapter 3 and verse 20. We're going to read through the rest of the chapter. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto him in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we do want to thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts and pray that we would understand it and that we might profit from it. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, today for each person who is here today that you would speak through each one of our hearts in whatever way you see fit. Lord, you know the need of everyone who is here today. And we ask you, Lord, to reach down and meet the need of each and every heart. We thank you, Lord, for your love to us and for every blessing that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. We do pray today, our Father, for those who cannot be with us. We ask you to watch over them and help them. We know there's been a number of problems lately, and we just pray for those who are suffering because of that and pray that your holy will would be done in their lives. We do pray for our missionaries today. We thank you for the good work that they're doing in various places. We think especially of Carl and Gladys Volz down in Alabama and ask you to be with them. Help Gladys as she adjusts to a new way of seeing. We pray that everything will go well for her and that she'll be able to have this other cataract removed without difficulty. And we pray that you would just continue to use them and that you would raise up a couple to come and take their place or to learn from them and then take over the work there that they've been doing all these years. And we ask you, Lord, to just undertake for all of our your servants and bless them. We think of our nation, our Father, as we are facing elections this year. We pray that your will be done and that you would guide and direct in every aspect of these elections that they might be done to your glory. And may your will be accomplished, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thinking about this morning, being misunderstood. Jesus was on a special mission. He chose to fulfill it by teaching his disciples and healing the afflicted ones. His life was consumed with his work. He knew he only had a short time to accomplish what he was set out to do, what the Father had given him to do. So after he chose his disciples, as we saw last time, he began to intensify his ministry. And as we read here a moment ago, they didn't even have time to stop and eat or to rest at all. They were so busy with the work that they were doing, he and his disciples. All this activity led others to make wild accusations about Jesus. In our scripture for today, notice several different phrases. It says, they said. They said this, they said that. And we find here, first of all, his friends. The friends of Jesus came to him, and they said what? He is beside himself. Why would they say that about Jesus? You remember Jesus was a carpenter, right? In the city of Nazareth, or the town of Nazareth. He left all that behind to go out and start preaching throughout the countryside. And no doubt they thought, well, why would you do that? Why would you leave a steady job and just begin a ministry such as this? They didn't understand why he did that. And they didn't understand why he was spending his life in such a way as to not be able even to stop and rest for a while. You know, we might think that as well. You know, we think, well, why? Take care of yourself. You know, hey, what's the matter with you? And here we find out that they were concerned for his health, for his well-being. They didn't understand why he would be so driven to endanger himself like this. Now, you remember, in these early days, they didn't realize who Jesus was. You know, we look back in the scriptures and we can read, you know, we know that he is the Messiah, he's Christ, and he is God in the flesh. And that's all clear from the scriptures today. But they didn't have that, you see. This is when Jesus was just starting out. And so they misunderstood what he was doing, right? And they tried to stop him. They wanted to stop him for his own good because they felt like he was going to ruin his health. They thought that they understood better than he did. That they knew what was best for him. They thought that he had become fanatical. You ever hear that word? Fanatical? Extremist? You know? Well, was Jesus an extremist? I'd say so, wasn't he? First of all, he was extremely good, extremely righteous, huh? Extremely loving and gracious, kind. All these extreme things that happened in his life. And I think we would do well to be extreme in those ways. Fanatical. You know, the same accusation was made about the Apostle Paul. Look with me in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. We find here Paul is a prisoner at this time. And he's a prisoner because he was preaching the word of God, the gospel. And speaking about Jesus coming forth from the grave. And the people did not want to hear that. And so now he is a prisoner. And here in verse 24, Festus, who was the governor at that time, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Said, Paul, you've been hitting the books too much. You know? You're so intelligent that you're not even balanced anymore. You're beside yourself. That's the same expression that they said about Jesus, you know? You're beside yourself. And no doubt some people probably think we're beside ourselves because of the things that we believe and teach. But I think we're in good company with the Lord Jesus and with the Apostle Paul. Okay, notice what Paul responded to them in verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul said, I wish you were all the extremists that I am. I wish you all were as fanatical as I am for Christ. This was his answer. He says, no, I'm not crazy. I'm just preaching the gospel and hoping that people will come to know the Lord Jesus. Another scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, speaks to this as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul says again to the Corinthians, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So here he says, you know, if we are beside ourselves, it's in serving God. You know, maybe it's unbalanced as far as the world is concerned, but he says it's much better to be on God's side than to be anywhere else, right? And so no wonder God used Paul in such a wonderful way, because he was totally dedicated to making Christ known, took every opportunity, no matter where he was, to proclaim the gospel, even before kings and other high-ranking officials. He was always ready to proclaim the word of God, even when he was thought to be unbalanced. So, his enemies, what did his enemies say about Jesus? Here in verse 22 of Mark chapter 3. And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he hath Beelzebub. By the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. See, the friend said, he's crazy, you know. He's benevolent, yeah, but he's, you know, a little bit off balance. But his enemy said, no, he's of the devil. Right? Boy, what an accusation to bring against someone. He has an unclean spirit, it says down in verse 30. He has an unclean spirit. So he said he's demon-possessed. What he's doing here, it's supernatural. Yes, we understand that. The scribes and the Pharisees realized that what he was doing wasn't just humanly possible. But they said, okay, well, it must be of the devil then. You know, this couldn't be of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't do what we command him to do. Therefore, he's of the devil. And these scribes were the men of the law. They were the ones who studied the scriptures. They should have known clearly what God was doing. But notice they are completely off base here, aren't they? They refuse to accept the truth that's right before their eyes. They've studied all of the Old Testament scriptures, and yet they refuse to believe. And they do not accept the one that God sent to be the Savior. They should have known the law. They were the theologians of the day. But they refused to believe. They could not win an argument against Jesus, you know, over and over again. Jesus silenced them, didn't he? Just by what he had to say. And here, once again, they're telling him, you're of the devil. You are Beelzebub, was one of the another name for Satan, or his chief demons and so forth. And so they accused him of being in league with the devil. And Jesus explained to them here the foolishness of that. He said, that doesn't even make sense. Why would Satan cast out Satan? Right? It doesn't make sense. That he would ruin himself. He would go against his own kingdom. Notice the principles here Jesus mentions. In verse 24, it says, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Our forefathers said that. I'm not sure if it was Benjamin Franklin or somebody. Said, will all you all hang together, or are we going to hang separately, right? You know, we have to be united together. And if the kingdom is fighting against itself, like in the Civil War, what happened? The bloodiest war we ever had, right? And tears things down. Any nation that is divided in its basic concepts will not long endure. There must be unity based on solid principles. United, we stand. Divided, we fall. Now, our nation was founded upon the United States Constitution, upon the Declaration of Independence, principles found. We believe in the Word of God, the Judeo-Christian way of thinking. And if we depart from that, we're not going to endure very long. I sincerely believe that. So, get my notes straightened out here. As we forsake the values held by our forefathers, our nation will become more and more divided until it crumbles. You know? We have so often today, we have the blacks against the whites. We have the Christians against the Muslims. We have all these different conflicts that are going on. What's going to happen? It's going to get worse and worse until we come together. We need a standard to follow. Everyone that does what is right in his own eyes is going to just constantly cause problems. We need to have a standard to go by. That, I think, is what our founding fathers established. And we need to go by that and not seek to change everything and cause it to be divided. Verse 25, he says, also, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Isn't that true? Think of this. A house, a man and his wife, right? If they don't get along, how can you be together? How can two walk together except they be agreed, the Scripture says, right? We need to have unity. We need to have oneness. This is true in every situation. And we know the divorce rate in our country and around the world shows that very clearly, doesn't it? How often homes are torn apart. Children are left without parents because people cannot get along. If you're divided, you can't stand. And he says, if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand. So it would be foolish for him to work against that. They accused of Jesus of working with Satan. Jesus said, rather, in 1 John, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The very opposite. So they misunderstood completely, didn't they? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and yet they said he's working along with them. Verse 27, No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first binds a strong man. Then he'll spoil his house. He's saying, you know, Satan is a strong person, right? A strong being. But you have to bind him before you can defeat him. That's the word I want. And so Jesus has said he's come to destroy the works of the devil. He's come to bind the strong man and to defeat him. And he did. He did when he went to the cross and died for our sins. He defeated Satan and provided salvation for us. He did it when he came forth from the grave on the third day, victoriously. He defeated Satan and his kingdom. And then he warns these people about the unpardonable sin. Here in verse 28, he says, all sin shall be forgiven to the sons of men. That's good. All sins shall be forgiven. But then he says, but he that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. So there's only one sin that is unpardonable or unforgivable. And what is that? Here, what did they say? They said he has an unclean spirit. The Lord Jesus was doing his work through the power of God. The Holy Spirit was working in him, filling him, and he was doing these things under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And they said he's doing it under the power of the devil. People who have that mindset and who continue to believe that, he says they cannot be forgiven. They can't be forgiven. Now, and that's the thing. Today, I don't believe we have this particular situation because Jesus is not here personally doing things, right? He does work through his church. I understand that. But I don't think we have the unpardonable sin in the same sense. But the only unpardonable sin we have today is to die without coming to salvation through Christ Jesus. A person who dies in that condition, then obviously they're not forgiven, right? And that's the reason it's so important that people come to Christ. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, turn to the Lord while you have the time. Don't wait, because we never know when it's going to be too late. Right? So we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. Scripture tells us that from one end to the other. And if we put our faith and trust in him for our salvation, then we have nothing to fear. We can put our faith and confidence in him. So, Jesus is the way. He's the way of salvation. And these people misunderstood that. They said, no, he's of the devil. Then the third thing is we see his family. His family comes. Now, I don't know if these are the same friends that we're talking about before, friends and family coming, perhaps. But at any rate, he has something different to say here about that. It says his brethren, his brothers, probably his sisters too, and his mother came. They were outside calling for him. See, they were concerned about him as well. They didn't want him to overdo and to make himself ill or anything like that. And so they were concerned about him. But here he says, in a spiritual sense, those who do the will of God are his brother, sister, and mother. Those who do the will of God. He says the spiritual relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is deeper and more full than the physical relationship that we have with our mother and father and brothers and sisters. And that's true many times, isn't it? So often, We, as Christians, as believers, we have more in common with one another than many family members do with one and the other. Right? And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, look around. You see the ones that are listening to the Word of God, those who are seeking to be obedient, those who are following after me. These are my family. This is my family. Who is my mother or my brethren? Behold, he says. It's wonderful to be rightly related to the Lord Jesus, isn't it? To have that faith and trust and confidence in him, that he would say that. It says over in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was not ashamed to call them brethren. Sometimes I wonder, is Jesus ashamed to call me brother? You know? We should make it a point in our lives to be pleasing to God, pleasing to Jesus. Serving him, loving one another. If we're family, you know, family cares for one another, right? We should. And when we have needs, we need to help each other. Pray for one another. Work in behalf of each other. This is what Jesus would have us to do. Let's don't misunderstand our relationship. Our relationship with one another should be that of grace and love and mercy, seeking to help one another rather than try to outdo one another or put another down. No, we need to follow the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus was often misunderstood by friend and foe alike. As his followers, are we willing to be considered fanatics in our devotion to him? That's a good question. Are we willing to be his brothers and sisters, mother, and to follow him and to do his will? Our Father, we thank you again for your word, and we pray that you'd help us to understand your word. And to understand our Lord Jesus and who he is, what he came to do. To understand our position in him and our position in regard to others. May we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, and may we love one another truly and follow in the way that you'd have us to go. May Jesus Christ be praised, honored, and glorified, we pray. Amen.